Bible, by the way. We do have extra Bibles in the back so that you can find one and you can open it and follow it along. If you're looking at your phone, I'm assuming you have a Bible app and you're not texting your friend. If you are texting them, tell them how great our church is and that they should be here. Amen? Yeah, you got to believe our church is a good church. We got the Holy Spirit. We got Jesus moving in us. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be your pastor. Happy to have the privilege to preach God's word to you this morning. Before I preach, I just want to enter into a quick prayer asking for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Father, we thank you for sending your Son. And Jesus, we thank you for leaving the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we now ask that as you've been left here for us, your word tells us that you will guide us into all truth, that you will tell us of the marvelous things that Jesus did, and we allow you to speak to us. Lord, the words on the page can seem like just words if you don't speak to our hearts and to our minds, to our souls and our spirit. Awaken us this morning, Lord, from the slumber of this world. Awaken our hearts to your word. Build us, disciple us, teach us, encourage us, edify us. Do everything you want to do with us. We give you permission. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're just going to get right into it. Got to be honest, I did a funeral yesterday and preached at that funeral, and so that was on the forefront of my mind this week. I did try to prep for this sermon as well, but the reality was when you're trying to prep for two sermons at once, sometimes it's hard. So I have an idea of what I want to say, but it might not entirely be there. That's why I pray for the Holy Spirit. That's why I believe God's word is powerful, that no matter what I say, if you hear the words of God, you'll get a good message.
Amen.
Thank you. I believe that. I really believe that. Someone once told me, Pastor, I heard what you said at the beginning, and then I started reading my Bible even more, and I really didn't catch the end because I was so caught up in his word. And it did not offend me. I was encouraged. My job, my responsibility as pastor is to open the scriptures with you, not just for you, with you. And I think this is important to say that this is what church leadership is about. Church leadership can sometimes see like a hierarchy, you know, like especially when you look at traditional Christianity through the church history, you know, you look at the Romanization of the church and how they have a pope, and I'm not going to bash their system, but what I'm going to say is I don't believe that God's full intentions are that we go through man. He wants direct connection with us. That my job as your pastor is, yes, to open the scriptures with you, but for you to take hold of it yourself. I teach so that you can learn to be a teacher, not so that you can be dependent upon the teacher. And we'll see here in Galatians chapter 2 where Paul is struggling with this. Last week I preached a message asking the question, who are you following? And as you evaluate who you follow in life, I really wanted to point us back to Jesus, that Jesus is our follower. But just as Pastor Liz is teaching our children's memory verse, Philippians 4:9, which was, follow me, what does it say? So whatever you have learned, seen, heard in me, put it into practice. So there's still some ownership on the leadership. There's still ownership on those of us who have been discipled, those of us who do know the way, the truth, and the life, who are following Jesus, that we would model it correctly. And I say this because sometimes it's modeled incorrectly. Unfortunately, we hear often in the media aren't glowing about the best church leaders out there. They glow about the worst church ones, right? like, look at this moral failure. Look at this scandal in the pulpit, you know? Unfortunately, that's the stuff we hear rather than what Jesus truly wants us to be, which is an example. Follow me. Everything I have done, everything I see and do, you need to put those things into practice yourself. That's the type of leadership we want. But it needs to also point back to Christ, that it wouldn't build ourselves up, but it builds up the kingdom of God. Let's see what Paul is talking about here in Galatians chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went up in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders, for fear I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. Okay, sometimes when we read the Bible, we were like, what is he talking about? Like, if I just say, hey, Colin, come on up here and tell me exactly, you might be like, oh, I'm not ready for this right now. Maybe you would. Maybe you know exactly what to say, Colin. But maybe you'd be like, I don't know. And you know what? When we know the context of the story, when we know what's happening here in church history, we get a better picture of what we're reading. So I'm going to just tell you a little bit of the context of the church history. So we have to recognize that on the day of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit came to the church, the day Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, just wait in the upper room and pray, and I will send you my Spirit. The day he sent his Spirit, as they were waiting and praying, the Spirit came and they spoke in a different unknown language, and people heard in their own language, and they believed and accepted the word of God on the day of Pentecost, and they believed that Jesus was their Savior, that he died on the cross for their sins, and they became believers. And this is where the church started. This is called the day of Pentecost. And the people who were there were all Jews. They were there celebrating a festival from the Old Testament. It just happened to be the day of Pentecost that they were celebrating the day of the celebration of the Old Testament, Shavuot. I think it is how you say it in the Hebrew. Someone could correct me later. But it's also known as the day of Pentecost. This is where God pours out his Spirit. The church is started through the Jews. But Paul, who is writing this letter, he has a miraculous conversion. He talked about that in chapter 1, where he was once persecuting the Jews. He was once coming after them because they were changing the way of the Jews. Believing in Jesus was a new teaching, and they didn't like it. So they were trying to kill the Christians who were once Jews. But then God got a hold of Saul, and then his name turned to Paul, and he started ministering to a new group of people. He started ministering to the Gentiles, those who are not Jews. And if you yourself do not have any Jewish lineage, you should be thankful right now that you have heard the gospel because of missionaries like Paul, who understood that the gospel was not just for the chosen people. It was that the chosen people were supposed to be a light to the ends of the earth. And here in Canada, we are far removed from Jerusalem, but we would be considered the ends of the earth to them, and they would come to us, and someone would bring the news of Jesus, and you should be thankful for that. And if you are truly born again, I believe Thanksgiving just rises up in you. You know, Thanksgiving was last week, Pastor. No, it isn't. It's every day. Is every day, you can have turkey anytime you want, and say, praise God, I'm saved. Right? We're going to have turkey next week. And pumpkin pie. Oh, I'm sorry. You can wait and be thankful next week, and then the week after when we finally eat our turkey. But you can come next week and maybe demand the turkey and then stick around and come back next week as well. This is what the context of the story was, that the Gentiles received the good news of Jesus Christ with gladness. But now you have two different groups, right? You got those who were saved who were not Jews, and you got those who got saved under the message of Jesus who were Jews. And so why is he talking about circumcision there? Well, if you know the history of circumcisions, it was the Jews who were told to be circumcised. And so the thought was, if you are going to be a Christian, you were of the Jewish heritage because Christianity came in through the Jews, and so you should get circumcised too. And all of us who don't want to have to do that, say, praise God, that's not one of the prerequisites for being a Christian. Awkward silence. But no, well, praise God, like, you know, okay, whatever, we won't go there. I'm thank God for all things, I think. But this is why Paul is telling us this. He's telling us this, that he's now going to the leadership of the church. Remember, I started this message about the leaders and what the leaders teach is important, right? And so here's this battle between the Jews who are Christians and the Gentiles who are Christians. And do we need to be more like the Jews, or do we just need to follow Jesus? And the teachers were the ones who were going to determine this. They were going to sit down and meet, and there were councils that happened throughout church history where church leaders had to get together to iron out some of these issues in church. And we don't believe that it's like God just sends an angel and tells everybody how it's supposed to be. We believe that the Holy Spirit works through human beings, that the Holy Spirit guides people to make wise decisions. And so this is what's happening here in this text. Titus decided not to be circumcised. This matter arose because some false brothers, now Paul's pretty clear here, they're false brothers. Any person who is adding to the gospel, we talked about this a few weeks ago, I preached a message called, Is the Gospel Enough? And I said, if anybody adds to the message of Jesus Christ or takes away anything of it, it's not really the gospel at all. And so he has no problem calling them false brothers, because they've infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Jesus and to make us slaves. This is a key verse here. This is a key verse. We sang it this morning. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You're no longer a slave. You've been set free. Jesus said the truth will set you free. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That when you know Jesus, you know truth. And you should be able to spot a truth from a lie, that when a preacher preaches and he talks about Jesus, or he tells you, hey, you need to do this extra work to be saved, you should be able to say, hold on, that doesn't sound right, that's false. Jesus paid it all on the cross. I don't have to go knocking on doors to make sure that everybody hears the message that I'm preaching, but I get to serve Jesus. I hope you understand the difference. You are free to serve Jesus however you choose. You can pick up a box at the back and fill it with things for Samaritan's Purse that'll go somewhere in the world, and children will benefit from that. But you don't have to do that. You are not obligated to do it. You can fill up a fill-a-bag and serve your own community by getting food at the grocery store and filling that bag and then putting it out so that the fill-a-bag program can pick that up and feed our community, but you're not obligated to do it. You are free to do it. You can choose, pick and choose where you serve. You know, if you're feeling a calling to go on a missions trip, you don't need special approval. Sometimes it's nice to have people who send you, someone who see the giftings in you and say, yeah, we believe God's working in your life. You should go and do that, and they can help you raise money and get you going. But guess what? If God's speaking to your heart, there's no special system that needs to be put in place in order for you to serve God. You are free that tomorrow morning you can wake up and you can pray a simple prayer, say, God, use me today. And God will guide your footsteps, put you in a place where you run into people who need the love of Jesus Christ. And you do it out of freedom, not out of obligation or duty or any form of slavery that say you have to be in church on Sunday and you need to tithe and you need to do this and you need to do. You know what the problem with Christianity is today is that most people know Christians by what we tell them to do or not do, not who we are. I'm a little mad about that. Do you get what I'm saying? Do people actually know who Christians are, or do they just think about us as people who say do this and don't do that? You know, Pastor Liz, over the past year, has had this group of young people come to our church during their lunch hour, and you know what? I got to sit on a few of those lunches with Liz, and the youth of today think Christianity is just a bunch of rules. Church, we need to show them who we are rather than telling them what we do or we don't do. Just model it. Just live it out. It said, this matter arose because some false brothers infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ and to make us slaves. Don't let anybody tell you you can't serve Jesus. You are free. You have been set free. We did not give in to them for this moment, for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. See, if they gave in to this, hey, you have to do this or do that to be saved, it takes away the whole message of the gospel. So they didn't want to give in to them on that matter. They wanted to know the freedom that they could have in Jesus. As for those who seem to be important, be very careful about people who seem to be important, even myself. I'd rather you get to know me as your pastor, as a human being, not even as your pastor. Amy Beth and I talk about this. I want to often identify myself as Thomas Ng before I'm just Pastor Thomas. Because of verses like this, right here. I don't want to just seem important to people because Reverend is in front of my title. The Bible says don't revere anyone except for God. So, you know, I don't put that title on myself. That's something the world can put on me. As for those who seem to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearances. Those men added nothing to my message. I think this is very important, church. As last week we looked at who are you following, we talked about following Jesus, and we do want to follow Jesus, and it's so important to have people in our lives who help us and disciple us, and so we follow people as who are following Jesus, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's very important to know who we are following when we're following people, but we also need to be very careful that we're not following people just because of their title or they seem important. Verse 7, on the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle for the Jews, was also at work in the ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. They had recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. So again, we'll break this down. I just told you some of the context of the historical significance of what's happening in the church at this time when Paul's writing this letter to the Galatians. There are certain church leaders, Peter, James, and John. These were men who walked with Jesus, who were disciples of Jesus. They saw him. They saw him die on the cross. And they were tasked, and they felt the calling to go to the Jews. And Paul, Barnabas, and Titus felt this calling to go to the Gentiles. You know what's beautiful here? It wasn't, hey, but no, you're going to forget our people. Or, hey, you're going to forget the Gentiles, or you're going to forget the Jews. No, it's like, hey, we understand that you have a calling, and you have a calling, and they might be different callings, but they're both necessary. Unfortunately, in church, this is what happens. We want to make people look like us and talk like us and be like us. And if they're not like us, we don't think they're doing the work of God. Why? Because we think that if we are doing the work of God, then it should look like what we're doing, no? And the reality is we are all different parts of the body. And the hand and the foot and the eye, and they can't tell each other they don't belong. They're all a part of the body. That is from Scripture, just so you know. In the book of Corinthians, it talks about the body that way, that we are need to be unified, though we are different. And we see this happening here in the book of Galatians, that some people might be called here and some people might be called there, but it's all this beautiful picture. You might say, hey, I want to serve by helping fill boxes. You might say, hey, I want to fill grocery bags. You might say, I don't want to do anything like that. I've got an different idea. You know? I want to serve how God is putting on my heart to serve. And to you, I say, go for it. Just like I was saying, you're free. You are free to serve Jesus. Would your pastor like to know about it? Of course, but not so I can control and manipulate how you serve, so that I can empower you and support you. Too often in churches we've said, hey, you can't do that without permission. Instead of saying, hey, why don't you come to the pastor so we can encourage and bless you in your giftedness. And sometimes there's a need for correction, right? Sometimes people take their ministry and they go and do some wacky things and we say, hey, hold on a second. We need to make sure you're on the straight and narrow way of Jesus Christ. But we need to empower the body rather than shut it down. Can I get an amen? I know it was good, but I need more than just Pastor Liz. I know Pastor Liz is saved, so. Thank you. I love it. Where's Liam? Liam was here. Oh, man, Liam. You got to be giving me the amens. Verse 10 says, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. How beautiful is that? What if me as pastor say, hey, church, we're shutting down everything. And you can do whatever you want. Just remember the poor. That's what church is. True religion. If you read James chapter 4, I don't know if it's chapter 4. In the book of James, there's 5 chapters, so you can read the whole thing pretty quickly. It says, true religion is this. Taking care of widows and orphans. Who are that? Who are widows and orphans? They're the poor. They're the people who can't take care of themselves. This is true religion. This is the real practice of the church. So you're saying, Pastor, I shouldn't come to church next week? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, we come here to be inspired. We come here to worship and to pray and to seek the Lord, that He would fill us up. Fill us up. Why? So that we can feel good about ourselves? So we can learn good Christian principles and pat ourselves on the back so that we can have wisdom and to make money and have good godly lives that where our children look nice and pretty and our lives look super polished as Christians? No! You know, those are some of the benefits of being a Christian, to be honest with you. You get to have beautiful love in your family as a Christian. You get the benefit of His Holy Spirit of love, joy, and peace, and all those blessings. But it's not so that you can keep it for yourself. It's so that you can share it with the whole world. And so when we come here on a Sunday morning to do church, what are we doing? We're practicing it. We're practicing things that we should be doing on an everyday basis. We come together once a week as a community of faith to worship God and to practice what it looks like to love Him and serve Him and do it together in community by encouraging each other. And then we go. And if we're not filled up, then when we go to the world, we're going to have nothing left to give. There's an amazing story in the gospel where even Jesus Himself is touched by a woman who's bleeding, and she's instantly healed when she reaches out and touches the hem of His garment, and Jesus looks back and says, I felt the power leave me. And you think, well, God is all-powerful. How could God let that happen? I think God was demonstrating to us that we need to be filled up, prayed up, and sent out, filled with His Spirit, that it flows through it. Is there unlimited potential? Yes, but it comes from heaven through us to the earth. And if you shut off the valve from heaven, guess what? It'll flow through you and you'll have nothing left to give. And so we come here to be charged up, to be filled up with His presence, and you need to do it on a daily basis. You need to be in your Word on a daily basis. You need to be hearing good preaching on a regular basis, and you need to allow that to flow through you. Don't just be stored up for yourself and never let it out, because then you know what happens? It gets so tight up in your head, gets so wound up in here, that eventually you get so filled with this godly knowledge that you're no good anymore. And you know what the Bible says? Knowledge puffs up. It puffs you up, and you walk around like these men did in the church of the Galatians, where they seemed important, but they weren't. Why? Because they were ineffective. They were not reaching out to the poor. They were not allowing the Spirit to go through them. And so Paul said, I was going to ignore those people, and I was going to talk to Peter, James, and John, and we were going to make sure that we were doing what matters, which was to minister to the poor. Did they sing worship songs? I'm sure they did. Paul tells the church to bring a song, bring a spiritual hymn, and to sing it out. You know, did they pray for one another? Of course they did. They brought the sick in and they laid their hands on them and they prayed for their, and they were healed. Those things happen. The things we do in church, they happened back then. But the truth is they didn't let it just happen in a church. They then went out in boldness. They laid hands in the marketplaces. When was the last time you were walking through Food Basics and you said, hey, I see you have a limp there. Can I lay my hand on you? You know, you'll look weird, right? But the truth is this. The Bible says that we will become like fools to the world. And the Bible also says that we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. This is the gospel, that it's a message not just for a select few, but it's that God so loved the entire world that he gave his one and only son. So the world isn't just in North Grenville Community Church or the Pentecostal Church or the Wesleyan Church. The world is in Food Basics and Independent. Sam will appreciate I said that because his brother works there. And Walmart. Maybe Walmart too. Yeah. Yeah, stressing out. He's listening to me out there, Sam. I hope you get my heart today. Again, it was a message. I don't know if it has a clear point today, other than be careful. Be careful what you're consuming as a Christian, that it isn't adding something to the gospel. This is maybe a summary of the past few sermons. You know, I did preach that message, is the gospel enough? Yes, the gospel's enough. Don't add or take away from it. And last week, you know, who are you following? Leadership matters. Make sure you're following people who are following Jesus. And maybe today's message is about the poor and going out. Because if you know the gospel, understand the gospel, and you have good leadership, you're following Jesus, and you're following people who follow Jesus, those two things together should look like something in the world taking care of the poor. So those boxes out there, no obligation. You are free to pick one up or not pick one up. But I believe if you have received the gift of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you've been set free, you can't help but want to pick up a box so that other children in this world can be set free. And you can't help come to myself or Charlie and say, how can I help fill a bag? People need to be fed so that they are ready to hear the gospel. And you can't help but have a dream at night where you're like, wow, God really spoke to me, and I believe I need to go and visit or talk to my friend or neighbor or even my enemy, my co-worker who bugs me and bullies me all day long. I need to go talk to that person and show love to them.
Amen.
I really believe this message. I really believe these people lived this out for real. And I'm convicted. I want to live it out more. I want to have more encounters at the supermarket. And not just with you folks. I love seeing you there too. It's nice to see your smiling faces in the supermarket. It'll bless my soul the day we see all of us in the supermarket and we're all praying for different people, right? And not just the supermarket. That's always an example. Maybe that's where we run into each other often. But let's pray. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that it shares us this story that even though it happened 2,000 years ago where the church was wrestling with these different groups and trying to sort out what mattered. They were trying to sort out what mattered, Lord. 2,000 years ago they were trying to sort that out. Yet 2,000 years later, Lord, we can look at that and say, how do we need to live our lives as Christians? And it's still a perfect example. It's still this story that speaks to our hearts and grips our hearts so that we know why we're in this. We love you so much because you first loved us that we want to freely choose to serve you. Not out of duty or obligation, but because you so loved us, we want to return the favor to the rest of the world. Use us, Lord. Maybe some people aren't feeling this message, Lord. I pray that you would penetrate their hearts with a renewed sense of joy for the things that you have done in their lives, Lord. Your word says, restore unto me. I think it was the psalmist David who wrote, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, your salvation. Lord, bring back that joy. Let the joy of the Lord be my strength today, that I don't have to depend on how I feel in order to minister to people. I just know that God is good, and because God is good, I can trust in his goodness no matter where I am, whether it be in church or outside of church. Whether it be with the rich or the poor, God is good. Whether it be with people who are oppressed and who are troubled, or whether it be with my brothers and sisters in Christ who have the blessings of the Lord upon them. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And you will minister through us, Lord. I believe, Lord, that the gospel is ready to go out to our community. That there are so many people who haven't seen the gospel been presented before them through acts of love. They're confused. They think it's just a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. Lord, I'm prophesying today that we, North Grenville Community Church, will live and love like Jesus with Jesus, and that our community will respond to the gospel. Lord, do it in us. We cannot do it without you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.